Good morning, church. So this picture is a little bit different than the one Jeff and Vivian showed you. This is more recent, but it's in the same place. It's the Singapore National Botanic Garden, and it's beautiful. So we wanted to try, there's not a lot of pictures, but there's some. We just want to introduce you to why we love Asia and why we just have fallen in love with it. And so Rich is representing our org and his shirt, but these are Thai pants. You can buy them all over Thailand. And so I wanted you all to see that. And anywhere in Asia, you notice my shoes are over there. You never wear your shoes in the house, and you would absolutely never wear them in some place sacred. So we're just some little cool cultural things just to show you guys as part of our talk.
Yeah. And thank you so much for your support. And
one more thing. Linda, if you can't hear Rich, please wave at us.
That's right.
Okay? Okay.
Sometimes I don't project my voice very well, so. But again, we're so thankful for Pastor Jeff and Vivian who came to visit us, for you as a body who supported us, and any work that we were able to accomplish is because of you, so, and for the glory of God, for sure. But thank you so much for welcoming us to speak to you today. We'd like to start this time together by asking you to close your eyes and imagine your friend Isaac said, "Hey, bruh, let's go makan." You respond with, "Can la." Isaac has just invited you out to lunch at one of Singapore's over 110 hawker food centers. As you walk up, you begin to smell the spices, the strong aroma of coffee, or kopi, as the locals call it. You hear the clang of the dishes, the noise of people talking. You can see a long queue of people waiting to order something called chicken rice. There are so many food stalls to choose from, you quickly become overwhelmed. You finally see something on one of the stall menus that you recognize, carrot cake. So you settle on that and a nice cup of kopi. Much to your surprise, the stall owner hands you a plate with something that looks like a flat black white pancake and smells just a little bit fishy. That's Singaporean carrot cake. Shredded turnip, pressed into a flat cake, doused with a splash of fish sauce, and covered... Wait for it. Covered with a sweet, dark soy sauce. You're adventurous, after all, so you decide to try it and find out you just might like it better than the traditional carrot cake you're used to at home. And now that you are feeling satisfied with your meal, you can open your eyes.
So hawker centers are the hub of community life in Singapore, and relationships are built over food and drink. And likely, Isaac paid for your meal. The Singaporean Christians are some of the most giving and generous we've ever met. And did I forget to mention, it was Isaac's birthday. And he did pay for your meal because he said, "You have blessed me through this year with friendship, so of course I will pay for your meal." After the amazing lunch, you are stuffed with not only carrot cake, but several other iconic Singaporean dishes because the Singaporeans never let you leave hungry. So you had chicken rice, chili crab, nasi lemak, and your carrot cake. You jump on the cleanest public transportation you have ever seen and take the bus across town to the Singapore Botanic Garden stop, where you walk along the edge of the National Botanic Garden, up Cluny Road, and into the entrance of OMF International. And that is where our journey begins. It starts in Singapore, takes an unexpected turn to Thailand, and then back to Singapore. Our four-year journey of how we learned how to trust God through the ups and downs of life on the mission field.
As you walk in the gate, a pavilion stands directly in front of you with the words, "Have faith in God," both in English and Mandarin. This phrase was spoken by our founder, James Hudson Taylor, whose vision was to see East Asia's millions come to know Christ as their Savior. This task is great, so there is a vast number of workers serving both as frontline workers in evangelism and church planting, and others like ourselves, in support roles, who come alongside these frontline workers to spread the gospel to these people. As you cross the OMF compound, you'll see a medical clinic where I review each member's medical and psychological evaluations to ensure that they will be medically fit for service on their field. My walk with them continues through the candidate process and onto the field, where I am able to answer medical questions they might have and help provide them with care through telemedicine or directing them to qualified physicians. Being able to keep our members healthy on the field allows them to continue their ministry long term.
Another way to support our ministries was my role called a personnel manager. So basically, I make sure that our missionaries are where they're supposed to be, and all of those changes going from the field to home assignment and back, that is all documented in our computer system. And that was vitally important during this time of COVID because so many of our missionaries got displaced. Each personnel manager on their given field had to know exactly where they were so that if there were evacuations or something bad happened, we knew exactly where everyone was at all times. So the other part of my role is that there are two yearly reviews that every OMF missionary has to do. Those are ways that we try to make sure that our missionaries are staying safe. So if I see a sign of burnout or maybe compassion fatigue, then that's something that I would take note of and let their leadership know. So as we walk with our members and offer support through their ups and downs, you have offered that same support to us. The fellowship of OMF and its staff rely on God's faithfulness of his people, which are you, to meet the needs of East Asia's unreached millions. Your faithful prayers and financial giving have been such a blessing, especially during the uncertainty of COVID.
Lord, what are you doing? We obeyed your call. We moved all the way around the world. We left family and friends behind to follow you. Why are you making this so hard? We just got settled in here in Singapore. Why are you asking us to move to Thailand? And then, once we get comfortable in Thailand, especially me, you're asking me to move back. And all of this transition wasn't enough. We get hit with a worldwide pandemic, which brought more isolation and loneliness than we ever were thinking we'd expect. And why? And these are just some of the questions we asked our Lord over these last 4 years. And hearing them, you may have a question for us. Was it worth it? Did you ever think about quitting and coming home?
So the simple answer to both of those questions is yes. When the pandemic struck, the U.S. Embassy in Singapore warned all U.S. passport holders to leave now or be willing to be stuck for an undisclosed amount of time. They were not guaranteeing our ability to be able to leave. So we didn't feel like God was finished with our work there, but we also didn't want to be stuck if something happened to our family back home. We wondered if we should just quit and fly home. We asked for your prayers, we sought wisdom from God and OMF leadership, and slowly but surely we felt at peace to stay on the path that God had called us to walk. We didn't quit because, as you supporters, did not quit on us. And though there were many days that we did feel uncertain, God was teaching us to trust in a much deeper way. While we were in Thailand, we got to minister to some colleagues. Aren't they so cute? And they added a second baby to their family. That's the left picture. We went over many days and helped care for the older brother while she rested, and we shared many meals together. We didn't know what kind of impact that had on them until several months later when she wrote to us and said, "I have no idea why God called you to Thailand, but honestly, if the only reason was to minister to our family, then I think it was worth it." As member care workers, God was using that experience to gently remind us that trusting him and serving others was indeed worth it. And the right side pictures them now. They've actually added two more, and they're still in Thailand.
In fact, not only is serving God worth it, we were also able to see him perform God possibles. Answers to prayer or provisions that seem impossible by human standards, but are accomplished only by God. Remember our friend Isaac, who treated us to a meal at the Hawker Center? Well, Isaac was one of the students at Shannon's school. He was about to graduate and embark on his 2-year mandatory national service. He was raised in a well-to-do Singaporean home. And as the only son, he had expectations to study hard, work hard, and take over his family's business. As a Singaporean, success is measured in achieving the 5 C's: cash, the more the better, credit card, car, which incidentally, a car there costs around $40,000 just to buy the piece of paper that allows you to then buy the car, private condo, and a country club membership. Isaac has had a lot of weight on his shoulders, and he often struggled with anxiety and depression, and he even had contemplated committing suicide. But he was raised in a religious home, and he knew who God was, but chasing after the material things in life has always been more important to him, and it is for many Singaporeans. That is, until God, through the Holy Spirit, began bringing conviction. He began to do more studying of the Word, watching apologetic videos on YouTube, paying more attention to Shannon's devotions that she got to lead in class 3 days a week. And then he asked if I and Shannon would be willing to mentor him, along with his new pastor from the church he was starting to attend. He then began to have aspirations of becoming a pastor himself, instead of working for his parents. And after several months, Isaac expressed his desire to rededicate himself to the Lord and publicly proclaim his desire to follow Christ in believer's baptism. I had the pleasure of baptizing him in front of his many non-believing family members and friends, and proclaim the gospel to all the bystanders who were walking by in the public beach. Of course, we were still having to be social distanced.
Which is why you can see we're standing so far apart. And masked, even though we're outside. When we started meeting with Isaac, we had hoped that not only he would come to a genuine relationship with Christ, but also his girlfriend Rachel, who frequently would meet with me while Rich was talking with Isaac. So far, she is still very much pursuing the Singaporean 5 C's. So please join us in praying for her that she will realize that choosing Christ is of infinite more worth than achieving material wealth. So Isaac's conversion was not the only amazing thing that God accomplished while we were in Singapore. We have many stories of miracles that happened to our frontline workers as we were there supporting them through our constant prayer and encouragement. But one of the miracles that we witnessed personally has to do with a little ministry very near and dear to our hearts. You all may have heard of it. It's called Celebrate Recovery. When we found out we were headed for Singapore, we inquired of CR International whether there was a chapter in Singapore, and there was not. Knowing how important it was for us to maintain our own recovery, we began praying about maybe we're supposed to start one in Singapore. So about 3 months before we left, I emailed the pastor of the church that we knew we were going to attend in Singapore and just said, "Hey, we're on our way. Have you ever heard of CR? We would love to partner with you to start one." And we never got a response. So one night after CR right here at Faith, we went home and we emailed the rep again and asked if he could help us, if there was any connections he could make. Little did we know, the exact same day, he got an email from a guy in Singapore saying, "Hey, I just joined a church in Singapore. The pastor mentioned to me this ministry about CR, but I don't know a whole lot about it." Bam, the connection was made. The rep immediately contacted us, and within the first month of us arriving in Singapore, we sat down with that gentleman and his wife and our new pastor, and they gave us the go-ahead to start our first leadership step study.
Yeah, that is really exciting. That step study turned into CR Singapore, the very first one. And it is now about to celebrate its 4th anniversary, and it is being led completely by locals. The gentleman who wrote the first email is now the Singapore national rep and is working with some other nationals to start maybe a second one. So please keep praying for that. God used you to accomplish this through the faithful leadership of CR right here at Faith and your prayers. Please continue to pray for the leadership of Celebrate Recovery Singapore and that many more Singaporeans would find the freedom and the voice to be able to find a place to share openly about their hurts, habits, and hang-up. Because of the insurmountable pressure to succeed leads many to destructive habits and hang-ups. God clearly has shown himself faithful to us, and God was about to show us through one of our fellow support workers how he continues to meet needs.
A fellow support worker recounts how God met a very specific need. Talk about a him possible. Let me share her words. It's difficult to inspire support of mission roles that are supportive. But these roles are essential to equip and support our missionaries who leave for East Asia. The battle is not won on the front lines without a supply from the home front. So we do our best to cast vision for these behind-the-scenes jobs. And that's what we want you to catch, that vision. So we pray, and we pray a lot. And last year, I had to pray a lot. While I prayed many times for God to provide, my funds were not growing fast enough. It was doubtful that I would have even enough funding to work part-time, let alone full-time. So I began to consider alternatives. Part-time, how would I make up for the lack? Would I have to get another job? What if I lost my health insurance? What is God doing? My future was a question mark, but my faith was defined by the prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's from Mark 9:24. And then I got a call from Mr. X during the week of Christmas 2020. After a few quick pleasantries, Mr. X got to his point. Grace, how much financial support do you need? I was a little hesitant to respond. I had heard of Mr. X's generosity to others. I pushed aside my rising hope that my desperate prayer for provision is being answered. While taming this hope, I fought my embarrassment, actually, at the amount of support I had failed to raise. What would Mr. X think of me? And yet another part of me was relieved that someone cared enough to ask for the dirty details. I need to raise an additional $18,000 in 2021 if I want to continue working full-time, I told him. It seemed to take no time or effort at all for Mr. X to respond, oh, I will cover that for you. Mr. X, in fact, called our finance team and shared that he would fund any deficit I held at the end of year 2021. So while I continue to work hard to raise my support, I also had the tremendous relief to know that even if I didn't, I would still have provision. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. But how are you supposed to respond when someone offers to give you $18,000? Of course, I had heard of such generosity before. I had heard plenty of testimonies of God's miraculous provision. Of course God provides. No surprise there. And yet I was surprised. I believed that God was capable of miraculous provision, but my inner battle was doubting whether he would provide for me. When I became aware that Mr. X was committing to fulfilling my full financial need, I struggled to think clearly. I felt the need to return the favor or somehow earn his gift. Were the words I could speak that would share the same amount of joy, wonder, gratitude, and confusion that he had just given me? Wasn't the term thank you designated for situations like this? These two overused words seemed insufficient for this level of kindness, but really they were all I could offer. But his response reminded me the source of the gift, and it is not of this world. We want to bless others with what God's given us, he simply replied. In this experience of receiving, God helped me to see his presence in the act of this giving. When we bring this equation to the kingdom of God, we see awesome, stunning, and unconditional acts of kindness, and they don't make sense, but they are the foundation of salvation because they reflect God's amazing grace. In this moment, my cup is overflowing, and I am full of peace and joy. But the work does not end here. The application remains. First, thank the Lord for his provision. Second, remember his provision, trusting that he will continue to provide for each of us. And third, to become an instrument of that provision for others, asking him to make us aware so that we may be generous to others as he has been to us.
When God called us to Singapore, I was going as a medical doctor, fully licensed and board certified. And that's how I had identified myself for more than a decade. Hi, I'm Dr. Porter. How can I help you today? But the Singapore Medical Council didn't know me or choose to identify me that way at all. And I had told God before I left, I said, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll even give up my medical license for you. And he said, oh, really? Because, in fact, they flat out denied my application to be a physician in their country. They said my degree wasn't good enough. And that began my own personal journey of trust, learning that that is not I, but the Lord is who defines me. Ironically, I had watched my wife go through a similar process of loss of identity when she chose to leave her physician assistant certification behind and let that lapse, her license lapse, to become a stay-at-home and homeschooling mom. But this seemed different somehow, maybe because it didn't seem like I had a choice in it. That decision had been made for me, despite my lengthy and what I thought was very logical appeal process. God brought me to my knees as I grieve this loss. If I can't do medicine, what am I even going to be? What am I going to do here? I believe he brought me to an Abraham and Isaac type moment. Was I willing to lay down my profession, my very identity, on the altar and walk away? I was very reluctant at first, as I imagine probably Abraham was. But then God reminded me of the rest of the story. I was very reluctant at first. Abraham, though, had the faith that even if he had killed Isaac, that wasn't going to be the end of that story. God would be able to raise him from the dead because God had promised many generations from Isaac. And God was not done with me either. Though I couldn't do any hands-on clinical medicine, God did provide me that ram. I was able to do virtual consultations with many of our colleagues. I was also, thanks to COVID, able to be hired to do some telemedicine using my U.S. medical license, which made it kind of easy because 1 p.m. in Singapore is 1 a.m. here, so I was wide awake. Probably maybe gave better advice than when I was here. And most importantly, I was able to embrace my new identity. Of course, I've had it for decades, but I had forgotten that it was the most important. I'm a child of God. Despite me not being able to do what I thought God had called me to do, he showed me a new opportunity. Because as you know, we initially had a heart for Northeast Asia. But we had been told no on many fronts. But while we were there, God gave me an opportunity to teach and lecture to medical graduates from Northeast Asia. There they are. None of them, as far as we know, are believers. In a land where our brothers and sisters are being persecuted. But they definitely saw a light and got to hear the truth while they were there. I also got to be a work-from-home dad, which is exactly what our boys needed as they prepared to launch their own manhood.
So as you think back over the last 4 years, I'm sure there are some of your plans that did not work out as you anticipated either. Maybe God asked you to work through something really hard or unexpected. God never promised that that walk would be easy, but he does promise to go before you and be with you, never leaving you or forsaking you. So we don't have to be afraid or discouraged.
What Shannon just mentioned might sound familiar to you, if you remember that from 4 years ago. It's from Deuteronomy 31:6, our family verse. If you want to open to that, you can. I'm going to read it again. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. What an encouraging verse. God never leaves me. But as I looked further at this passage, as much as I wanted to jump right to that verse. But I realized that verse comes near the end of Moses' talk and final speech to the Israelites. He actually starts this talk in chapter 29. Moses had just been finishing giving the law to the second time, and now he opens up with his final speech. He brings all the people together. He reminds them of God's faithfulness. He says, remember what the Lord did to the Egyptians. He said that in verses 2 and 3. He goes, and even when you didn't trust him, none of your clothes wore out, in verses 5 and 6. For 40 years, nothing wore out. Tells them in verse 4, the change of the heart and the ability to know and believe comes only from God himself. When Moses says, but to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. A humbling thought. And the first point, God gives us the right mind. And then Moses asked them to recommit to the covenant God had made with his people, that they would enter into this covenant and that God would establish them as his people. Yet again, God is the one that is establishing this. In verse 12, you are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing it with an oath. Again, God. Then Moses, of course, goes on to warn them what will happen if they don't follow the covenant in verses 16 to 20. He reminds them that if they turn away, God will bring judgment. He says, even if they say this in their heart, in verse 19, when such a person hears the word of this oath and they invoke a blessing on themselves, thinking, I will be safe, even though I persist in going my own way, they will bring disaster on the watered lands as well as the dry. Moses lets everyone know there are consequences. And these consequences, unfortunately, are not based on my feelings or my desires. We can even feel secure or even saved. And yet the truth is that we might not be. God is the one who knows our hearts. God is our judge. Of course, Moses doesn't end there. In chapter 30, Moses tells them that when they break the covenant, not if, but when, they will be removed from the land. And it says God will do the removing. But it says God will be the one bringing them back. In Deuteronomy 36, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart, and with all your soul, and live. This reminded me of Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. Or we can think of Paul, when he says in Romans 2, 28 and 29, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, But a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. And in the end, Moses asked them to choose life and follow God. He says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." The decision, the choice, is to love God and to walk in obedience. And if that choice is made, oh yeah, then we can go on to chapter 31 and that awesome verse. And we get to the verse 6 where Moses charges the people, be strong and courageous. And why can they be strong and courageous? Because Moses uses these two words, Yahweh and Elohim is going with you. He is not going to leave you. He will not abandon you. He is not sending someone else in his place. Moses uses the personal name for God here to show him that God himself is going. For the last two chapters, Moses has been telling them everything that God would be doing. Multiple times, Moses tells him God provides and protects. He tells them that God's going to put the new mind in them and the new heart in them. God will be the one to judge when they disobey and to kick them out, and God will be the one to restore. Everything Moses is telling them is what God is going to do. They just need to trust him and obey him. Nothing will be brought about on their own strength. They just need to choose to be in fellowship with God, and God will take care of it. And that's how I thought I was leaving the United States. But I realized we had our own plans and ideas of how this should go. We had our own idea of what we should do. I unfortunately even went out not even thinking what God would want to teach me on this trip. But see, that is me and us in our doing. Moses, I see, is saying, this trip, Israelites, or the porters, this trip is about what God is going to be doing. Trust him. Be in fellowship with him. Live honestly before him. Don't lie and say, I can do my own thing. Everything will be okay. Will it be easy? No, not always. Will it look confusing at times? Yes, because I'm not in the driver's seat. But this is where the growth happens. The fellowship happens. It is when we are moving in his strength. Where was I not wanting to trust God? When he asked us to leave Singapore. And then when he asked us to go back. When he told me I wasn't getting my medical license. When our kids struggled. When we didn't look like good missionaries at times. Or when we came back to the States. And some of our struggles followed us. When was I lying to myself? Oh, when I say, I'm doing just fine. Or when we see our kids struggling and I think I can fix it. When I tell myself, I'll just control this little piece. I can get this part, God. Those are the times when I need to be strong and courageous. I'm just glad it doesn't say happy. But the courage and the strength comes to help us obey and trust God. That's where the courage is and the strength. God doesn't and will not leave us. He has promised us that. And he will not leave you. And he did not leave us. What about when I do my own things or lie to myself? Oh, don't worry. God will not abandon you. But, that's the part I didn't really like to say all the time, but he's not going to leave you where you are. He will bring that discipline to bring you back and restore you. So where is God leading in our next step? We don't know, but we pray to be strong and courageous and to trust God where he leads. Because as it says, we don't need to fear them. The Israelites were going to battle the nations of the land, bigger and stronger than them, and they didn't need to be afraid. And we face our own challenges, and we don't need to be afraid. God is right there, leading us to the challenges to show his power. I just want to ask you, where is God leading you? God is leading, though, so don't take the control. Trust him. Let him lead so that you can be encouraged and you can be courageous and strong, because it is not in your might or not in my might, but it's all in God's. You might ask yourself, how can I have this hope and courage? How does God never abandon me? Well, that comes from the covenant. That is why Moses didn't start with this verse. He ended with it. It starts with entering in a relationship with God. Back in Moses' day, they entered into that covenant through the law. Today, we enter it through Christ our Savior. You see, just as Moses was pointing to the fact that they were not able to keep this covenant on their own, we cannot get to God on our own. We have a problem. We have sin in our lives. Sin is rebellion against the Creator of the universe. Just like the Israelites many times rebelled against God, in small ways by complaining, or in large ways by making idols and worshiping them. We have rebelled against God. When we want to control, when we want to go our own way, maybe through small ways like control, or big ways like outright breaking God's rules, maybe lying or lusting or so many others. God knew that, and so he sent his son Jesus. Jesus, the God-man, lived the perfect life God required and so was able to sacrifice himself on the cross to take the punishment we deserve. He also removed our shame because as rebels, we had insulted and disrespected the Creator of the universe, the Creator, and deserved death. But God himself sacrificed for us to remove our shame and to give us an eternal family. And finally, Jesus' sacrifice gives us the power through him to overcome the enemies and the sin in our lives. Through God living in us, through the Holy Spirit, to enter into this relationship with Jesus, you need to admit that you are a sinner, that Christ is the only way. Ask him to save you. Take control of your life. If you have done that, or have any questions, please talk to us. Talk to Pastor Jeff, Vivian, any of the other leadership here. We would love to share with you this hope that we have.
The video we'd like to share with you now is called Hope for Billions. And as Rich said, there is an eternal hope through a relationship with Christ. And through this video, we'd like to introduce you some more to some of the sites of East Asia. You may notice there's different modes of transportation than you see in Garrett County. Some of you may focus on the faces. They look different than you see in Garrett County. And some on the words, hearing phrases like being changed, the church, fear, and hope. Connecting with these faces will help you to pray more effectively because you now have a face with your petitions. It may even move you to become involved in missions. Or maybe God is calling you to learn to love your neighbor, whether they are literally next door or across the ocean. The important thing is that we are willing to do what he asks us to do. Hudson Taylor said, "I am no longer anxious about anything, as I realize the Lord is able to carry out his will, and his will is mine. It makes no matter where he places me or how. That is rather for him to consider than for me. For in the easiest positions, he must give me his grace, and in the most difficult, his grace is sufficient." May we all continue to trust God and hope for East Asia's billions.